Good morning. I am so honored that you are having me here today. For those of you who don't know who I am, I am Alex Klingenberg. I was the intern minister at First UU in San Diego last year, and I am in the final months of my seminary journey. So I join you at the very, very tail end of a five-year process. And I am just really grateful to be in this community and to get to share a little bit of me with you today. And I hope that you will share yourselves with me after service today. I am a great lover of stories. And so I am going to begin my sermon this morning by telling you a story that I've adapted a little bit for length by David Griebner. And the story is called The Carpenter and the Unbuilder, An Invitation. Once upon a time, there was a man living in a certain queendom who received an invitation from the queen to come to dinner. He was very excited about this invitation and also pretty scared. He was really worried that he wouldn't have the right clothes to wear, that his manners would be crude, and that he'd have nothing to say to the queen once he got there. But what he was most afraid of was the long journey on the road to the queen's castle. So he spent a month or two earning the money that he could use to buy the right clothes. And then he spent another 2 weeks learning the rules of etiquette and practicing them as he ate. And he spent another 3 months reading up on all the latest issues faced by the queendom so that he would have something to say. Finally, he faced the journey itself. By trade, the man was a carpenter. And so after he had packed all of the clothes and the food he thought he would need for the journey, he had a room for just a little bit more, and so he decided he would go ahead and pack just a few of his carpentry tools, enough to permit him to build adequate overnight shelters on this long and rather treacherous journey. And then he started out. The first day, he traveled through the morning and into the afternoon, stopping only to eat some lunch. Then he set about constructing a rather rough shelter to spend the night in, and after a few hours' labor, he had a small, safe, dry place to sleep. The next morning, he was about to start off again on his journey, but he looked back at his house and he noticed there were some places that could be improved. So instead of resuming the journey right away, he began to make little improvements to his dwelling. And one thing led to another, and the garage led to the kitchen, which led to indoor plumbing, and so on. And soon he had pretty much forgotten about the invitation and the journey. Meanwhile, our queen was getting kind of worried about him. And she decided, as queens are wont to do, that she would send another person out to go and check on him and see how he was coming along. When the queen's friend found the man, the carpenter had moved into his second home after selling the first one for a fair profit, and he had built a bigger one, a beautiful home. The carpenter was only too happy to invite this visitor for lunch, but while she was happy and content to accept the offer of food, the visitor said she preferred to eat outside, under the yard, under a tree in his yard. "Is there a reason you don't want to come inside?" asked the carpenter, immediately wondering if he had forgotten something about his house that would have made it more appealing. "Why, yes," replied the visitor. "You see, I am on a journey to have dinner with the queen of our land. It's important for me to stay on the journey. Perhaps after lunch you'd like to come with me." The carpenter thought for a moment. "You know, what you say actually sounds fairly familiar to me. I think I received an invitation to dinner with the queen too, but I have become uncertain of the way." "I know," responded the stranger. "I was once uncertain too. As a matter of fact, once I was a carpenter just like you. I too wanted to build safe places along the way to stay in. And one day, another person on the journey helped me learn how to unbuild instead of build. She helped me leave the house that I was living in and trust the journey itself. I was worried about following the right path, but she let me know that there were a number of paths that would lead to the dinner." The unbuilder waited outside all night long for the carpenter. And the next morning, the carpenter had indeed decided to resume the journey. And together they set out. And things were not easy, and they often lost their way. And sometimes the carpenter still felt the need to build another home. And from time to time, the unbuilder made sure he understood what he was doing and that she'd let him, if he really wanted to. And while the carpenter labored, the unbuilder, his guide, and friend would continue the silent waiting in the yard under a tree. And soon they would unbuild yet another home and begin the journey again. In the meantime, the queen kept the food warm, as she was very good at doing. So I first heard this story in a friend of mine's Lutheran ordination, and it's kind of a Christian parable. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. But it made this really huge impression on me because it kept coming back to me weeks later, and good stories will do that. Something about it really moved me, and something about it bothered me. I think we can all relate to the carpenter, right? More worried about preparing and making ourselves comfortable than actually living our lives particularly well. But the carpenter embodies values that we, as people living in the United States, are surrounded with constantly. For better and for worse, I guess. So growth and expansion, safety and security, comfort, avoidance, excess, and a little bit of individualism, right? The unbuilder, on the other hand, refuses to get comfortable. She chooses to remain awake to the journey by rejecting materialism and the safety of a well-made home. The parable clearly implies that these traits of discomfort and patience and awakeness are necessary elements of living a spiritual life well. The unbuilder had already made her way to the queen once. And then the queen just sent her back out again to find another carpenter in order to teach him the way of unbuilding. It's a really lovely story. I love this story. And it really bothers me. Something about it bothers me. And it took me a really long time to figure out what it was that bothered me about this story. While I love the metaphor of the unbuilder, she fails to help the carpenter understand why he must learn to unbuild. The stakes in the story are not named. And I think the implication is that his soul is on the line, and the story fails to show that his dreams of comfort and security come at the cost of other people. The story completely ignores the role that community plays in our spiritual well-being, and it ignores the idea of collective liberation. He's going to get there essentially with one other person, this one person guiding him the way. It's soul by soul in this story. And the way that I think about going to the dinner is we're not going to get there unless we're all going to the dinner, right? So I chose to center this story because I believe as a community, Unitarian Universalists are in the process of doing some unbuilding of our own. And because I believe I cannot overstate the importance of stories in that unbuilding process. Native American writer Thomas King says, "The truth about stories is that that's all we are." And in some ways, I think he's right. So much of the work we need to do as a denomination has to do with really hearing the stories that we've been telling ourselves and then allowing those stories to change with new information that we've gotten. Our faith tradition was founded on many of the same stories as our country. Individualism, freedom, achievement, building. And we inherited with those values some of the same problems. Systemic racism, systemic classism, and a hyper-focus on the self. Our work, particularly those of us who identify as white, is to hear new stories and to really listen to people of color who have been working for collective justice for centuries. Luckily and importantly, change is at the heart of who we are. It's at the core of our theology. We believe in an ongoing, continual sort of revelation, that truths are always being revealed to us, that our spiritual paths must change with new information and new enlightenments. And I don't know about you, but this year has been a revelation for me. From the election of Donald Trump to the resignation of our previous Unitarian Universalist Association president, Peter Morales, we've been through a few shocks this year. And while these changes can be painful, and they are painful, they're an opportunity to wake up to the world around us, to get a clarity of vision, and to unbuild some of the structures that have created injustices in our organizations and in our country. To unbuild is to simplify, to pare down, to clear the ground, right? So that we can begin to build with strong and entangled roots. So the metaphor I want to move from is this idea that we're building up to this idea that we're building out. In most religions, there is a theme of simplification. It seems to be at the heart of most spiritual traditions. Jesus required that all of his followers sell their possessions. Believing wealth led to spiritual poverty. Buddhism says that attachment to impermanent things is the cause of all suffering. Hinduism advocates moderation with the ultimate goal of realizing that the material world is transient. And transcendentalists, who are one of my favorites, believe that God could only be found in nature and advocated for a life of simplicity, much like our unbuilder. The goal of all of these traditions is to stay awake to the state of things. Comfort can act as a narcotic, lulling us into a false sense of security and keeping us disconnected from each other. And unconsciously retelling the same old stories without considering them is one of the ways we allow ourselves to fall asleep to the way that things really are. So, how do we begin to unbuild the stories that hinder our collective liberation? I'm going to leave you with just three really simple ideas about this. They can be applied to yourself, they can be applied to your family, they can be applied to your community, and maybe even your country, although that last one sounds a little daunting to me right now. But as with most things, it's probably better if we just go ahead and start with ourselves. So, the first step that I see is to really see what we have built. We have to be able to see it in order to unbuild it. If you can't see it, you can't work on it. So start to observe the stories that you tell about yourself. I have a really close friend who went through a divorce several years ago, and for a long time, he told the story that he had failed at marriage. That was the story. And it was holding him back from moving into a different way of being in the world. And it took him a lot of help and time and a little bit of therapy, and he managed to change that story. And he got the idea that he had failed sort of morphed into realizing he felt more joy after his separation, which can be a really tricky thing to do. And it's not easy. I'm not saying unbuilding our stories is easy. I'm saying you have to see them, right? So the first step is this sort of self-observation. You have to go, I keep saying this about myself. Does it need to be true? Or am I just holding on to a story I've been telling myself for years? The second step is to see the ecosystem where you built these stories. So how were you raised? What stories were you told growing up? What stories does your faith community tell? Your country? I remember sitting once in a board meeting, not here, and having one of our board members stand up and say, when are we going to get young adults in leadership? We don't have any young adults in leadership. And I looked around the room, and including myself, there were four young adults in that meeting. He was just repeating the story that congregation had been telling itself about itself for years. It wasn't even his story. It was a story he inherited from previous generations at the church. And that's true in a lot of church communities. When we really start looking at the stories we tell about ourselves, sometimes they're generations old. So start seeing how Your ecosystem is defining your stories. If you can see the environment in which their narratives are being formed, it's much easier to sort of dismantle them or take them down. One way to explore your own culture is to actually engage in stories of other cultures. That can be very helpful to give you a little bit of a perspective on what the stories you're being told actually say and how they shape us. There's a In the book, Thomas King's book, The Story or The Truth About Stories, which I highly recommend, he tells two different Genesis stories. One is a Native American Genesis story of a woman who comes down and gives birth to twins, and they make the world the way that it is in its collaborative way with all of the animals. And then he tells the Genesis story from the Bible. And then he asks us to consider the implications of those two different ideas about how we were formed. When I was 14, I actually moved to Spain for a year with my family, and I went to public school in Madrid. And at first, the Spanish culture felt really uncomfortable and foreign, and all the kids smoked out the windows. I remember that very clearly. And the other thing I remember is that they didn't have any peanut butter in, like, all of Spain. It was just not a thing, which reminds me of the story, but I was so frustrated. There was one store that sold peanut butter, and it was, like, a U.S. American store where you could go and buy things like Reese's peanut butter cups. But by the time I left, that culture had become pretty familiar to me. And it was after I came home that I noticed how strange my own culture really was, right? Everything back at home was huge. We all had these giant cars, huge stores to buy things in. Everyone was always really busy and running around. And I remember just thinking, wow, I'm never going to forget how it feels to see my culture from an outside perspective. But of course, I did forget, right? Like, that's how it goes. You unbuild the stories, and then they slowly over time build back up if you don't pay attention to them. So, I realize it's not possible for everyone to have the experience of moving out of the country for a year and coming back, but reading other people's stories from other cultures can actually do the same sort of shift. So, the first step is to see our own stories. The second step is to see the stories we have inherited or absorbed through our culture and upbringings. The third step, and I think we're really good at this, as you use, is to get clear about our mission and our values so that when we act, we know what we're acting for. These will be the roadmap as we continue to travel down the pathway toward a more just world. My colleague Tanya Marquez once told me she never liked the metaphor of the moral arc of the universe always bending toward justice. She didn't think of it as active enough. She said she preferred to think of justice making as a difficult trail through rough terrain, each generation clearing a little more of the way for the generation that follows. Unbuilding our stories that no longer serve us and those around us allow us to get clearer on our values and create a more cohesive path-clearing team, I think. One thing that I like to do is create a personal mission. Every year, sometimes I'll change it multiple times in a year if it's a really intense year like this year. But every year I sort of look at it and I think about how I built it. I think about the ecosystem in which I built that mission. And I revise it with any new information that's come to me, any new experiences. And sometimes revision won't do and I just unbuild the thing completely. Culturally, I think it's fair to say that we're undergoing a shift of our awareness. In the past few years, ideas and injustices long held have become more visible to more of the population. We're finally seeing some of the stories on which this country was built. And with that seeing comes the responsibility to act. Unitarian Universalists talk a lot about building a new way, and there is a lot of work to be done. I believe in order to see the roles that each of us can play as individuals and as communities most effectively, we need to first get rid of anything that doesn't serve us any longer. It is only down paring down to essentials that we can see what is necessary and what changes we need to make with clarity. But each of us can act as the unbuilder does, gently encouraging the carpenters among us to unbuild our houses and continue on the journey. At times, we will, of course, be the carpenter in need of that nudging. But always, we must work to keep clearing the pathway to justice, to unbuild where our ancestors wrongly built, and to listen to those who have been clearing for generations. Together, we can and we will unbuild our way toward greater peace and justice for all of Earth's creatures. Blessed be.